Hi, this is Jill Murphy from Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus. The Pharmacy Times Pharmacy Focus podcast provides the latest industry news and information, thought leader insights, clinical updates, patient counseling tools, and innovative solutions for the everyday practice and business of pharmacy. Before we begin with this week's episode, do you know what the original goal was behind the development of Kellogg's Corn Flakes? We will reveal the answer at the end of the episode. In this week's episode, we will be discussing the importance of medication adherence with Dr. Bailey Sism, PGY2 resident at Advent Health and Ambulatory Care. Sism started by emphasizing that no matter what medication it is or how new it may be, it only works if it's taken correctly.
Estimates of non-adherence are pretty scary for pharmacists like myself. So about 50% of the time, it's estimated that patients are non-adherent to their medications, and it can reach up to 80% non-adherent with conditions that are like asymptomatic. So hypertension, hyperlipidemia, things like that. And it tends to be overlooked because it's not an easy thing to address. It's so multifaceted, and there's so many things that contribute to it. And it can look different for each and every patient that you interact with. I would venture to guess that, you know, patients coming into the pharmacy, coming into the doctor's office, you may have a whole bunch that are not adherent, but probably not for the same reasons. So often for providers and healthcare practitioners like myself, we like to have, you know, a quick fix, or at least be able to provide a simple answer for patients. And that's not what we see with medication adherence. It's often due to more internal factors, and we like to think of it as external factors, things that we can modify. So things like cost of medications, access to medications, whether it be trips to the pharmacy or pharmacies out of stock, or just simple forgetfulness, and that happens sometimes. That is definitely a contributing factor.
She mentioned how a main roadblock in medication adherence during the COVID-19 pandemic was the barrier of access.
Could have been an issue for some people prior to the pandemic about getting to the pharmacy, getting their medications if, you know, transportation is not reliable. But especially with COVID, we had pharmacies shutting their doors, not allowing people inside. Doctor's offices were turning people away and doing virtual visits. And so that creates a lot of problems with access to care. But I also think patients have become a little more skeptical. You know, there are a lot of things in the media with the COVID-19 pandemic and medications in general. You know, you turn on the news and you see something different. But in this time that we're living in with the COVID-19 pandemic, there's so many new things, vaccines, you know, getting approved and emergency use authorization. And I think a lot of people, when you don't have a background in the healthcare field and understand some of these complex things that take a high degree of health literacy to really understand, it can be taken out of context, and it can be pretty confusing and scary for people. And so I think patients, at least some of them, have a little bit of mistrust with the healthcare system right now with all this new information that is being spread and not necessarily explained in an understandable format for most people today.
We are taking a short break to celebrate pharmacy heroes Kevin and Brandy McCullough, owners of 5 pharmacies in rural Missouri. Despite how busy managing multiple stores keeps them, the McCulloughs continue to work inside the stores every day, constantly helping their patients. During COVID-19, the McCulloughs have also taken over another pharmacy in a nearby rural community to ensure the small town could continue to have that pharmacy available. If you would like to nominate a pharmacist or pharmacy staff member as a pharmacy hero, email the address in our description with your nominee. Now back to the show. 90-day supply is a popular tactic for increasing medication adherence, but Sism explained how this can limit the number of interactions patients have with the healthcare system.
Simply, it's for maintenance medications, whether it be for hypertension, hyperlipidemia, diabetes. And these are medications that are taken on a daily basis, most likely, if not multiple times a day. And they can be provided instead of just a simple 30-day supply. So for 1 month, say you take one tablet once a day and you would get 30 tablets for a month's supply, it would be a 90-day supply. So one tablet once a day for a quantity of 90, that would be dispensed. And so really that's limiting the number of interactions that a patient has with the healthcare system. You know, we as pharmacists, myself included, I went to pharmacy school for, you know, X number of years so I could really make an impact on my patients. And for pharmacists that are in the retail setting, 90-day supplies may limit that interaction that a patient theoretically is going to have just to pick up their prescriptions from 12 potential interactions per year, once a month, down to just 4 if they're only filling 90-day supplies with no dose changes or new medications being prescribed. But I do think they have a place. We kind of talked about the access to medications, getting to the pharmacy if transportation isn't reliable. I truly believe that some people, that is their main barrier to taking their medications appropriately. So 90-day fills can be appropriate for some patients. It's just a large majority. There are underlying things that are happening. For example, I worked in a retail pharmacy last year, and so often, you know, I would go down to the front counter and counsel over medication, say for diabetes, because a patient would say, oh, well, you can put this back in stock. I don't need this medication right now. And the question would always pop into my head, well, from my computer system, it looks like you're due for a refill. But they would say, oh, no, I actually have like 2 big bottles that I haven't even opened at home. So just because the medication is in the patient's possession does not mean that they're taking it correctly. And when a 90-day fill is given to a patient that has that poor medication taking behavior due to whatever reason it is, we're kind of spurring that on and letting that fester and not really having that intervention with the healthcare provider to really address the underlying problem that's needed to fix the adherence issues. And hopefully, you know, in the future, if access is that last barrier standing in the way of them taking their medication appropriately, that can be fixed with a 90-day supply. So I definitely think it has a place in practice, but it shouldn't be something we jump to first or we jump to for 99% of our patients.
In terms of the best advice she has for pharmacists to implement better measures for medication adherence, starting the conversation with patients is a great start.
It really is multifaceted, and there is no gold standard or perfect way to measure medication adherence. But I think the main thing, especially as pharmacists, even physicians, other healthcare providers, creating a conversation with your patient, you want to be able to build a relationship that's built on trust and really have a conversation that's more open-ended questions, reflective listening, letting the patient tell their side of the story. Because I can't tell you how many times I've been in a room with a patient doing a medication review and they say, well, this is the first time that anyone's really listened to the concerns that I have. And granted, sometimes you have to cut people off because you do have a limited amount of time, but you really want the patient to be able to share their story, their experience, because they're part of the healthcare team. They're bringing a perspective, a knowledge and a skill set that we as healthcare providers, even though we're highly educated, do not have. We don't have what it's like to have to take all these medications every single day and side effects that they may be experiencing. So I really think being inquisitive and curious with your patients is always important, and never assuming that they're taking it perfectly, not to necessarily blame them, but to create that open conversation. I think something that is super vital for pharmacists to implement when they're doing medication reviews, when they're counseling patients, when they identify that a patient, you know, is not taking a medication correctly, is motivational interviewing. And really that's focusing on the patient, focusing on eliciting change talk and their internal motivations for wanting to change, showing empathy and reflective listening, because we as a healthcare provider cannot make any of those changes, but we can partner with them in their healthcare. And I think education, so providing counseling to the patient and engaging family members, especially if they're an elderly patient or they have a primary caretaker, incorporating them into the counseling session so they can ask questions, they can gain that education. And then I think two of the last things that I'm really seeing become more prevalent today, which is awesome, is just transitions of care and catching those patients when they're transitioning out of the hospital back into normal life or transitioning out of a skilled nursing facility, do a medication review, counseling patients, and really medication synchronization is key too in retail pharmacies. And that's the concept of basically, if a patient is filling multiple maintenance medications, say they're on one for high cholesterol, hypertension, two for diabetes, instead of having to come to the pharmacy four separate days out of the month just to pick up one medication one day, the next medication the second day, it allows for maintenance medications to be lined up so they all are filled on the same day and they can pick them up from the pharmacy. So that offers the convenience piece of not having to make kind of unnecessary trips to the pharmacy, and it can be more appointment-based, knowing which patients are going to come in, what we need to talk to them about, and it kind of gives the patients more of a perspective of, I feel like so often patients may think, oh, you're a pharmacist, you just put pills in a bottle, but we do so much more than that, and shifting patients' mindset to more of a, I'm going to meet with my pharmacist so they can hear my healthcare needs, any concerns or questions I have, and provide me education that's essential for managing my chronic disease states should be the new norm and something that I really want myself and pharmacists that I interact with and any pharmacist listening to this to really push the boundaries on that, because we have to, you know, it's one patient at a time. It's word of mouth when you impact a patient so positively and they tell their friends or their family members, hey, I interacted with this pharmacist and they made a big difference. You know, it's things like that that really will push the profession forward and things we want to see in the future.
Did you figure out our fun fact of the week? The main goal behind the development of Kellogg's Corn Flakes was to encourage a more chaste life. John Harvey Kellogg, a physician who created a sanatorium in Battle Creek, Michigan, believed in the importance of a healthy diet and weight management. Through lots of exercise, vegetarianism, and an abstinence of gluttonous eating, including alcohol and tobacco as well. Kellogg and his brother Will invented Kellogg's Corn Flakes as a part of this healthy lifestyle, which they recommended as an element of a nutritious diet to patients. Additionally, John Kellogg believed that self-pleasure had a negative impact on the body, mind, and soul. In his book, Plain Facts for Old and Young, published in 1877, Kellogg explained in detail the ill effects of self-pleasure on physical health. Kellogg specifically believed that diet was a way to cure the body of its predilection for masturbatory habits, with cornflakes being a prime element of such a cure. Furthermore, Kellogg explained that in particular, all spices, condiments, and pickles were evil, and act as an effective way of enticing the mind to unchaste thoughts. For Kellogg, a world without pickles was an unstimulating world that supported a more chaste and spiritual way of life. Thanks for listening to Pharmacy Focus. Stay tuned for next episode where we will be joined by another key opinion leader in the pharmacy space.